لله يوم الدين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد فلنستكمل أو ننتقل إلى السؤال الثاني وهو كيف ينبغي أن نتيح في ضوء سلوك السلف الصالح رضي الله تعالى عنه وما هي آداب هذا الاختلاف لا شك أن هذا هو المحتاج إلى تعريف الخلاف بسرعة فنقول الخلاف هو منازعة تجري بين المتعالى غيره لتحقيق حق أو لإبطال باطل منازعة تجري بين المتعالى غيره لتحقيق حق أو لإبطال باطل أما علم الخلاف فهو العلم بالمسائل التي يجري فيها الاجتهاد بغض النظر عن ان الراي صواب ام خطا كقول مشهور ام قول شاذ فهذا هو يعني علم الخلاف العلم بالمسائل التي يجري فيها الاجتهاد بغض النظر عن صواب او خطا ثالثا نقول ان هذا الخلاف سنه كونيه وهذا من طبيعه تقييم البشر واختلاف المواهبهم وقدراتهم ورغبهم فيها الامور وقول يقول الله عز وجل جعل الناس أمة واحدة ولا يزالون مختلفين إلا من رحم ربهم فمختلفين يعني في الأديان والأخلاق وفي الأفعال لكن مع هذه السنة الكونية لكن الله يمتن على بعض عباده فيهديهم إلى الحق هذا الله الذين آمنوا بما اختاروا به إلى الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم مع هذا الكلام الكوني الفردي لا بد وقع كما قال الله لكن بنى مقارنون شرعا بالبيانات وبمحاضرته او تضييقه ما امكن.
There are from the second issue of the issues of this lecture, and that is discussion of differences in what is the manners and characteristics in the setup for attitudes towards differences and how we need to act in trying to remove differences. Before we start to define differences is any sort of disagreement that comes about due to trying to establish a truth or receiving a falsehood. And we should understand that differences and the presence of differences and disputes is among Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws of his creation. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, that had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under the word will, he would have made them a single nation. However, they will remain differing except for those who the Lord is merciful with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided those who believe to what the truth in what has been differing from. So even though that differences is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine laws, there must be differences and the presence of differences on the earth. We are ordered by the Sharia to try to remove these differences and try to close the gap of differences as much as possible.
ثم أنواع الاختلاف فالاختلاف على ثلاثة أنواع. النوع الأول الاختلاف المندوب. النوع الثاني الاختلاف الممدوح. والنوع الثالث الاختلاف السائر. أما الاختلاف المندوب فهو انقسام البشر إلى مؤمن وكافر. فمخالفة الكافر لأهل الإيمان هذه العقيدة هذا مخالفة له مندوبة. مخالفة الكافر لعقيدة التوحيد. من الاختلاف المندوب بين البشر الباقي يعني أهل الإسلام باختلاف أهل الأهواء والبدع وخروجهم عن منهج الفرقة النبوية والطريقة المنصورة وهو المشار إليه بقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اختلف اليهود اختلاف الأخرى كما هو معروف وفي هذه الحديثة نستهلك بالنبي على 23 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة كلها في النار إلا واحدة وجاء في بعض الروايات المكثرة من الجماعة وهي ما يعني كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رواية أصحابه نلاحظ هذا المذاهب الفقهية الإسلامية عديدة المذاهب الفقهية والمذاهب الفقهية هم أكثر من أربعة من المشاهدين والمذاهب الفقهية مختلفة ولكن في هذا الجهاد في القضايا الفقهية العملية القضايا الفقهية أما القضايا العملية فكلهم ينتظمون تحت راية واحدة هي أهل السنة والجماعة هل الشيء مستحب أم غير مستحب؟ هل كان أو كان من القضايا الخلاف الممدوح والذي يتبعه الشرع هو مخالفة المسلمين ما بعدهم من أهل البلد المشركين وأهل الكتاب وأهل الكتب فيها جاهلين وأحواليهم وأعيادهم ومن التبعيد فيتعطل له خلافة هؤلاء الناس في هذه الأحوال. هذا فيما يتعلق بالنوعين الأولين المذموم والممدوح. أما النوع الثالث هو الخلاف الثالث فهو اختلاف المجتهدين من فقهاء ومفتين وحكام في المسائل الاجتهادية لماذا نقول هذا الخلاف ساهل ومحتمل ويعني لا ينكر عن المخالفين؟ لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا اجتهد الحاكم فأصاب فله أجران وإذا اجتهد فأخطأ فله أجر وهذا الحديث متفق عليه. إذا من التفصيل أن نلوذج الخلاف في قضايا فقهية يعني أو خلاف الفقه المقارن في النوع المذموم من الخلاف ونستدل بمثل قول تبارك وتعالى إن الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا لست منهم في شيء أو بمثل قول تعالى اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. فهذا هذه الآيات تدل بالتكلم عن الخلاف المذموم الذي ذكرناه أولا. أما الخلاف بين المجتهدين في قضايا الخلاف الناشئ عن الاجتهاد سواء في تصحيح النصوص من الأحاديث مثلا أو في فهمها أو قضايا ليس فيها يعني نص أو دليل فهذا لازم يتكرر في الخلاف يعني الثاني. وقول النبي عليه الصلاه والسلام اذا اجتهد الحاكم الى يعني حكم الحاكم فاجتهد فاخطا فلم اجرني واذا حكم فاخطا فلم اجر قوله عليه السلام يعني فلم اجر يدل على ان انه يعني يمكن ان يخطئ المشاهد. المشاهد ممكن اولا ان يخطئ. ثانيا اذا اخطا المشاهد ماذا سيحصل؟ سيحصل خلاف بينه وبين غيره من العلماء المسلمين او بين الاتباع بعضهم مع بعض. فترتب الاجر على الرغم من ان هذا من هذا الخطا يدل على ان هذا خلاف ثاني لانه لم يؤثر فدل على ان هذا خلاف ثاني. ومن هذا النوع في اختلاف الصحابه في الحديث المعروف لا تصنع عبر الا بهذه الغيره. منه ايضا قول بعض الصحابه رضي الله عنهم كنا نسافر فمنا الصائم ومنا المفطر ومنا المتم ومنا المفطر فلم يعرض الصائم على المفطر ولا المفطر على الصائم ولا المتم على المفطر ولا المفطر على المتم.
So we need to first we need to recognize the different types of differences. Differences can be classified into three categories. The first category is a difference which is censured, which is blameworthy according to Sharia. And that is, for instance, the disbelievers being different than the believers and rejecting faith and choosing a way other than that of Islam. This is a type of differences which is censored and blameworthy in the Sharia. And likewise, those sects which go against what Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah are upon, they are also blameworthy and censured in their differing from what the people of the Sunnah are upon. As mentioned in the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that is committed to divide into 73 groups, 72 would be heading to hell, and only one which we save those who are upon it, what he was upon and his companions. And also, we may add to this, when you have fifth differences occurring between the different schools of thought in the Zahid, or between the different parties, and this leads to them having mutual hatred and mutual distrust and dislike between them, so that one group will not pray behind another group, and so forth and so on. These are all examples of any differences which are disliked and are censored in Sharia. As far as those differences which are praiseworthy in Sharia, that's the second type, that is when the Muslims, for instance, when they act differently than the disbelievers. When the Muslims act differently than the disbelievers in their dress, in their worship, in their beliefs, in their acts, in their manners, and so forth. And likewise, when the pious Muslims act different than the impious Muslims by abstaining from sins and doing righteous deeds, or when the Muslims who follow the Sunnah act different than those Muslims who are upon bid'ah, upon heresy, by having correct faith and so forth. As far as the third kind of differences, that is differences which are permitted by the Sharia, and that is when a scholar, when the scholars differ concerning the ruling due to their jihad, due to their exercise of their opinion. And for the Prophet has said that when the judge gives his decision, if he is correct, he receives two rewards, and if he has erred, he only receives one reward. This hadith teaches a number of things. One of it is that it's possible for the judge, for the scholar, or the judge, make a mistake in his judgment. And of course, if he's going to make a mistake in his judgment, he will then, of course, differ from those who are correct in their judgment. And likewise, his followers will differ from those who follow those people who are correct in their judgment. However, the Prophet still said that the judge or the scholar who gave his judgment was incorrect, and he receives one reward, thereby showing that he has not sinned and that this type of difference is permitted. So for us, some people do and classify the differences between the scholars in the first category, referring to those verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has censured the Jews and Christians for taking their rabbis and their monks as lords beside Allah. This is obviously extremism and this is unwarranted. But rather, the differences between the scholars and the Shaykhul all fall under this third category, which is the permissible differences. And this another example of this type of permissible differences, the differences which occur between the Prophet's companions, when the Prophet said that none of you should make their salat ma'akal except in Bani Qurayzah. Some of the Muslims hastened and prayed the salat on the road. Other of the Muslims took the words of the Prophet literally and did not pray salat ma'akal until they reached the camp of Bani Qurayzah, even though the sun had set it. And likewise, another example is when the Prophet's companions said, we used to travel and some of us would fast and some of us would break their fast. Some of us would pray their prayer full, complete, and some short of their prayer, and yet we would not censure one another. So these are all examples of differences which are permitted by
Sharia. وقرر وقاهم الله تبارك وتعالى لانهم اشداء على الكفار ورحماء بينهم فدعاهم بهذا الوقت قبل ان يلغوا في الكتب السابقه اشداء على الكفار ورحماء بينهم كانوا مع اختلافهم يترحمون ولا يستوي هذا الخلاف تدابرا ولا تقاطرا ولا اقاما ولا استحلال الاعراض والحرمات. نذكر امثله من اختلاف الصحابه والجبار عنهم في كثير من المسائل. فاول ذلك ما وقع في يوم الثقيفه ثقيفه الليل سعيد بعد نوم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مباشرة اختلفوا. يعني الاختلاف الموجود قال بعضهم منا امير ومنكم امير والاخر قال منا الوزراء ومنكم الوزراء الى ان حصلت بيعه يعني عمر بن ابي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه. اختلاف الصحابه في قضيه قتال منع الزكاه الاختلاف بين عمر وبين ابي بكر رضي الله عنه هو كيف رجع الجميع واتفقوا على ما شرع الله له فضل ابي بكر رضي الله عنه ووقع الله بذلك الأمة شرع الفتنة العظيمة حتى ترى ما لم يطلق عبر كل الرسول أن يقال ردة ولا أبا بكر لها. أيضا كان عمر وابن مسعود رضي الله تبارك وتعالى عنهما يختلفان كثيرا في كثير من المسائل. أوصلها الإمام الحافظ ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى إلى أكثر من 100 مسألة. السنة قالت هي ابن مسعود عمر رضي الله تبارك وتعالى عنه. ومع ذلك كان ابن مسعود نفسه أحد رجال عمر رضي الله تبارك وتعالى عنهم الذي يعتمد عليه في بعض الأعمال. أيضا أتى ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه اثنان بعد وفاة عمر رضي الله عنه. أحدهما قرأ القرآن على عمر والآخر قرأ على صحابي آخر. فيقول الذي قرأ على عمر أقرأ أليها عمر بن الخطاب. يعني هذا النطق هذه الطريقة أو قراءته بهذه الطريقة أنا تلقيت عن عمر رضي الله عنه. فماذا فعل؟ جهش ابن مسعود البكاء انخرط في بكاء شديد حتى ابتل الحصى بدموع عينيه من شده بكائه لما ذكر امامه عمر رضي الله عنه انه الذي اقراه. فيقول له ثم قال له اقرا كما اقراك عمر فانه كان للاسلام حصنا حصينا يدخل الناس فيه ولا يخرجون منه فلما اصيب عمر ان كان الحصن.
So, and when the companions differ, we should understand that the differences were just in their minds. They are not just in their minds, the differences were just in their opinions. It was not a difference which resulted in anything concerning their hearts or their feelings towards one another. For they were, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them before they were created, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in the previous scriptures, that they are harsh upon the disbelievers, merciful between themselves. And some other examples of the companions differing is like the question of successorship to the Muslim community after the Prophet died, and there's a difference between the Ansar and the Muhajirun concerning who should be sought as Khalifa. And likewise, concerning the difference about how they should treat those people who refuse to pay the zakat after the Prophet's death, and the difference that occurred between Abu Bakr and Umar concerning their status in Islam and how it should be dealt with. Indeed, Imam Ibn Qayyim, he has mentioned that Ibn Mas'ud differed with Umar in about 100 issues of ijtihad of opinions. And at the same time, we know from history that Umar used to rely on Ibn Mas'ud, and Ibn Mas'ud had a very important role in Umar's government. Indeed, Ibn Mas'ud, even though he differed with Umar in over 100 issues, still had so much love for Umar as the story, the incident that occurred after Umar's death, when two people were reciting the Quran, and one of them said that this is a recitation which I took from the mouth of Umar. So Ibn Mas'ud broke down his tears and said, "We as Umar caused you to recite the Quran," and he cried so much as such that the mat underneath him became wet from his tears. And he said, verily, Umar was like a castle. And he used to, when people would enter Islam into this fortress, and they would be protected by this fortress, meaning Umar, and they would not go out of Islam. But when Umar died, the fortress broke down.
أقبل المسعود يوما وعمر جائع. فلما رأى عمر ابن مسعود مقبلا قال: كنيك ملع البيت، كنيك ملع علما وفقها آثرت به أهل الخالدية.
So one time Ibn Mas'ud approached Umar, or came to Umar, radiallahu anhu, and Umar recited a line of poetry. This coming is a person who is filled with knowledge, and I have preferred to send him to the people of Qadisiyah, in other words, to teach them the religion.
ومعلوم حينما كان يعني معاوية رضي الله عنه صلى فيه أربع ركعات وكان ابن مسعود كما هو السنة أن يصلي ركعتين فأنكر عليه يعني ابن مسعود أنكر على معاوية رضي الله عنه صلاته صلاة كاملة ولما حان وقت الصلاة صلى خلفه أربع ركعات وخليفة بياخذ يعني مع أنه غير خلاف ذلك فسئل ابن مسعود عن ذلك كيف خالفته ثم صليت وأروى أربعا
And also during the time of Ma'awiyah, during the prayer in Mina, during the Hajj time, the Sunnah is to pray only two rak'ahs. So Ma'awiyah led the people with four rak'ahs. So Ibn Mas'ud spoke to Ma'awiyah and condemned him for praying four rak'ahs. But at the same time, when the next prayer came, and Muawiyah led the people four rak'ahs, Ibn Mas'ud prayed behind Muawiyah, praying four rak'ahs. So the people inquired Ibn Mas'ud, how is it that you disagreed with Muawiyah, saying that you should only pray two rak'ahs, and yet at the same time, you prayed behind him four rak'ahs? Ibn Mas'ud said the words which will be recorded throughout history, difference is equal.
حصل خلاف
أيضاً
شديد بين ابن مسعود وبين ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما وبين زيد رضي الله عنه في مساله المسائل الصغيره. لان كيف كانت العلاقه بين ابن عباس وزيد المسائل رضي الله عنه؟ راى ابن عباس زيدا يركب دابه فاخذ بكتابه يقود به فقال له زيد اللي هو كان راكبا فلح يا ابن عم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال ابن عباس هكذا امرنا ان نفعل بعلمائنا وكبرائنا. فقال زيد ارني يدك فاخرج له ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه يده فقبل يده وقال هكذا امرنا ان نفعل باهل بيت نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And another example of differences between the companions and their attitude towards the differences between themselves. Ibn Abbas and Zayd ibn Thabit had a great difference, a very serious difference concerning one ruling or regulation concerning the laws of inheritance. But yet, at the same time, look at Ibn Abbas's attitude towards Zayd ibn Thabit. One day he saw Zayd riding on a camel, and so he walked up to the camel, he would lead it, pull the camel, and while Zayd was riding on the camel. So Zayd told Ibn Abbas, step aside, cousin of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or nephew of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Abbas turned around and said, this is how we were commanded to treat our scholars and those who are older than us. So Zayd ibn Thabit then told Ibn Abbas, he said, pull out your hand. So Ibn Abbas pulled out his hand, and Zayd ibn Thabit then kissed Ibn Abbas's hand, and said, this is how we were ordered to treat the Prophet's family.
رأي ابن عباس رضي الله عنه حزنا شديدا لما توفي زيد رضي الله عنه وقال لقد دفن اليوم علم كثير.
And also Ibn Abbas, when Zayd bin Thabit died, he was very saddened and overtaken with grief and said, today great knowledge is buried.
بل لما وقع في الفتنة حتى وصل الأمر إلى نوع من الفتنة في اجتهاد الصحابة في مسألة معروفة بالنسبة لهم عثمان رضي الله عنه، لما وقع في الفتنة الكبرى نال رجل من أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها في حضور عمار بن ياسر رضي الله تعالى عنه. وطبعا عمار كان مخالفا لها في يوم الجمل. فلما نال هذا الرجل من أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها أمامه طرح فيه قائلا اسكت مقبوحا مندوحا. أتؤذي محبوبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أشهد أنها زوجة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الجنة، لقد سارت أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها التي رأى، وإننا نعلم أنها زوجة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدنيا والآخرة، ولكن الله ابتلانا بها إياه نطيع أو إياها.
And when the great fitna occurred due to the blood of her son, in taking revenge for those people who killed their son on the line, and of course the battle for between the Sahaba, the battle of the capital near Basra, on one side of the army was Ali and Amr, and on the other side was Zayd and Talha and Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha on the line. So one time a man attacked Aisha in front of the presence of Amr, even though Amr was on the other side of the battle. And so Amr got very angry and said, shut up. I testify that she is the prophet by son's wife in
paradise.
Aisha took her path and she went forth to war. And we knew that she was the prophet by son's wife in this world and in hereafter. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested us with her.
وذكر عمار بن طلحة ابن عبيد الله على علي رضي الله عنه بعد ما فرغ من وقعة الجمل. ومعروف ان يعني عبد الله طلحة ابن طلحة الذي هو كان في الجيش الاخر ضد علي رضي الله عنه. فماذا فعل به علي؟ علي رضي الله عنه رحب به وادناه بعد انتهاء الى البلاد وقال اني لارجو ان يجعلني الله واباك من الذين قام الله عز وجل فيهم ونزعنا ما في صدورهم من غل إخوانا على سلم المتقابلين.
And Imran, the son of Talha, Talha being the great companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who was one of those people who fought with Ali on the other side, and Talha died in the battle of Jabal, when his son, Imran, went to Ali bin Talib after the war, Ali bin Talib welcomed him and let him sit next to him and said, by Allah, I wish that your father and me will be from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in this book as brothers, that we have removed what's in their breast from hatred. They are brothers sitting on couches facing each other in paradise. And then he began to ask Talha, Talha's son, concerning the family of Talha, individual by individual, his relatives, and also even his servants and his slaves and his slave girls.
فَاتَّبَعَ بَعْضُ الْحَضْرِيِّينَ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَحْضَرُوا بِشَرْطِ الصُّحْبَةِ النَّبَوِيَّةِ وَالتَّرْبِيَّةِ الْمُحَمَّدِيَّةِ فَبَدَا رَجُلَانِ هَذَيْنِ مِنَ الْحَاضِرِينَ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ تَقْتُلُهُمْ بِالْأَمْنِ وَتَكُونُ إِخْوَانًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ.
And so some people were visited or angered by what Ali was doing. And those people who were not from the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and did not benefit from the teaching of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he said, Allah is more just than that. You were killing them yesterday and today they are brothers. And then they will be your brothers in paradise.
فغضب علي رضي الله عنه وقال لهما قوما أبعد أرض الله وأتحرك. اذهب إلى أبعد أرض الله وأتحرك.
So Ali ibn Talib told those two men, get out of here and go to the farthest line of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay far away from me.
فمن هو إذن إن لم أكن أنا وطلحة؟ فمن إذن؟
And so then he said, who would it also be of those brothers training each other in paradise? He was not being Talha.
وسأل بعضهم عليا عن أهل الجنة. أمشركونهم؟ فقال من الشرك فروا.
And also some people asked Ali concerning the people of Jannah, those who fought against Ali. They questioned Ali, said, where are they Mushrikun? Were they people who worship under Allah? So Ali replied, from shirk they flee.
قال أمنافقونهم؟ قال إن المنافقين لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا.
And then was asked, are they hypocrites? And Ali replied, the hypocrites only remember Allah very little.
قال ممن هم إذن؟ قال إخواننا بغوا علينا.
And then the other people asked him, then therefore who are they? If they're not Mushrikun, if they're not hypocrites, who are they? So Ali replied, they are our brothers, however they have transgressed against us.
وطلب معاوية رضي الله عنه من ضرار ابن حمزة أن يصف له عليا رضي الله عنه بعد استشهاده رضي الله عنه. فبعض أشجع في الثناء عليه وذكروا لنا سيره ورعه وزهده وخشوعه.
And so after Ali ibn Fadl, another story, after Ali ibn Fadl was martyred, Muawiyah asked one of Ali's companions to describe Ali, how he was prior to his death. And so that man began to describe all of Ali's virtues and all of Ali's merits. So Muawiyah was overtaken in tears and in grief and sorrow. And so Muawiyah cried so much that his beard was filled with his tears, and he began to wipe his eyes with his sleep. And all those sitting next to them began to cry also. And so then Muawiyah said, truly, this is how Abu Hassan bin Ali was, may Allah be merciful
to him.
He then asked Ali's companion, Mirah, how do you feel? What is how's your sadness concerning what happened to Ali?
قال وجد من ذبح واحدها في حجرها لا ترقى جمعتها ولا يسكن حزنها. وجد يعني حزني حزن المرأة التي ذبحت ابنها الوحيد وهو في حجرها ذبح فلا ترقى جمعتها لا تترقى دموعها ولا يسكن حزنها. يعني
So Muawiyah asked Bilal, how is your feelings for because of Ali's death? Bilal described it, he said, I feel like that mother who her only child was slaughtered while her baby was slaughtered in her own room. She cannot stop crying, and her sadness is never ending.
فنرجو طرفا من ادب السلف الصالح رحمه الله تعالى في الخيام. سئل الامام مالك عن ابي حنيفه فقال لو جاء قصاصي لكم من هذه يعني سواري المسجد وهي مبنيه من الطوبع فقرايتكم على خشب وظننتم انها خشب يعني لو استعمل قراته البارعه بالنسبه لله للقياس لاثبت لكم واقنعكم ان هذه ليست حجاره لكنها خشب يعني لكنها خشب. وأما الشافعي فيقول عن أبي حنيفة الناس في الفقه عيال عن أبي حنيفة. وقال عبد الله بن الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى يمين أي رجل كان الشافعي فإني أسمعك تكثر الدعاء له. فقال يا بني كان الشافعي رحمه الله كالشمس للدنيا وكالعافية للناس فانظر هل لهذين من خلف أو عوض.
And also, let's go down to another generation of the Salaf and see how, even though they differed, how their attitudes were to one another. When Malik was asked a question one time concerning Abu Hanifa, he replied, Abu Hanifa was so intelligent or so great in his ability to argumentative ability that if he was to convince you, if he was to tell you that the pillars of the Prophet's laws, which were made out of clay, would you believe them? And also one time Shafi requested Abu Hanifa, he said, the people are all children upon the fiqh of Abu Hanifa. And one time Abdullah ibn Ahmed asked his father, Ibn Ahmed, concerning a Shafi'i. He said, I find you always making dua for a Shafi'i. What kind of man was he? Ibn Ahmed replied, he was like the sun to the earth, and he was like a pure to the sickness.
ويقول صالح بن الإمام أحمد ليقول لما قيام يحيى بن معين فقال أما يستحي أبوك مما يفعل يعني أبوك بن أحمد مما يفعل فقلت وما يفعل قال رأيته مع الشافعي راكبا يعني الشافعي راكب وهو راجل يمشي على رجليه وهو آكل بذناب نافته فقلت لأبي ذلك حكى لأبي ما حكى أن قال الله يحيى بن معين فقال إن لقيته فقل له يقول لك أبي إذا أردت أن تتلقى فتعالى فخذ بركابه من الجانب الآخر.
So one time Yahya ibn Ma'in said to Salih, the son of Imam Ahmed, does your father not feel shy for what is he doing? Salih, the son of Imam Ahmed, said, what is my father doing? Yahya ibn Ma'in said, I saw your father walking in front of Imam al-Shafi'i, pulling his animal while Imam al-Shafi'i was riding upon that. So then Salih, the son of Imam Ahmed, went to his father Imam Ahmed and said, and told him what Yahya ibn Ma'in said he saw. And so Imam Ahmed told Salih, his son, to go back to Yahya and give him the message that if Yahya wants to have understanding the religion, he should then hold the other side, meaning the tail of the animal.
Al-Khalifa al-Rashid imama. بعد أن احتجم ثم صلى الإمام وصلى الإمام أبو يوسف خلفه ولم يعد الصلاة مع أن الحجامة عنده لم تضر الوضوء.
So then Rashid, the Khalifa Harun Rashid, one time had blood letting for a venous infection, and then he led the people in prayer. So Abu Yusuf prayed behind him, even though it was in Abu Yusuf's opinion that to do bloodletting cupping was the cause to break one's wudu, and therefore Rashid's prayer would not be accepted or would not be valid.
وكان الإمام أحمد يرى الوضوء من الرعاء والحجامة.
الإمام أحمد used to, it was in his opinion that if you had a nosebleed or if you did puffing, it would cause you to break your wudu.
فقيل له فإن كان الإمام قد خرج منه الدم ولم يتوضأ هل يصلى خلفه؟
And so one time he said to Ahmed, since this is your opinion that if a person has a nosebleed or if he has cupping and blood has come from him, would you pray behind the Imam that if he doesn't remake his wudu?
فقال كيف لو صلي خلف الإمام مالك وسعيد بن سعيد؟
Imam Ahmed said, how could I not then pray behind Malik and Sa'id ibn Musayyib?
وهم لا يرون الوضوء من خروج الدم.
And they did not used to have the opinion that one needs to remake his wudu if blood comes out of his body.
يعني من هذه الآداب وفي جملة كثيرة أخرى من الآداب نختصر حتى لا يعني يزيد الوقت يجب يعني أن نتعلم كثيرا من ذلك أن نستفيد من هذه الأخلاق ونحذر يعني هذه الأخلاق لأن يوجد بسبب أننا لم نتربى على منهج فعلي في قضايا يعني الأخلاق يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ضل قوم بعد هدى كانوا عليه إلا أوتوا الجدل في قضايا الأخلاقية وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ترك الزراعة وهو محق بنى الله بيتا في روض الجنة. وقال مسلم ابن يسار إياكم والمراء الجدل فإنها ساعة جهل العالم الساعة التي يصبح العالم فيها جميعا إياكم والمراء فإنها ساعة جهل العالم وبها يبتغي الشيطان زلته.
How the Salaf understood how their attitude was when they had mutual differences. Unfortunately, we find that our behavior is different because we have not raised ourselves, trained ourselves upon the Prophet's teaching. And that's why the Prophet said, there is not a single people who go astray after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided them, except that they have done so because of argumentation. And the Prophet said, whoever leaves argumenting, even if he knows himself to be correct, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build him a house in the middle of
paradise.
And also the Muslim bin Yasar, a scholar among the early generation of Muslims, said, beware of argumentation. For it is that when a person argues, the scholar becomes ignorant. And at that moment, Satan has hope that people will follow his mistakes.
وقال الحسن رحمه الله تعالى المؤمن يلالي ولا يمالي. ينشر حكمة الله فإن قبل الحمد الله وإن رد الحمد الله.
And Al-Hajj al-Basri said that the believer so Al-Hajj said that the people that the scholar or the Muslim does not is wise in dealing with the people in the sense that he doesn't get into argumentation with them. And he spreads the wisdom of Allah. And if it's accepted from him, he praises Allah. And if it's rejected from him, he praises Allah. And Imam Malik was one time asked, he said, a person is a scholar of the Sunnah. Should he argue concerning that sunnah? Imam Malik said no. Rather, he should just spread that sunnah. And if it's accepted from him, fine. But if it's not accepted from him, he should not argue to stay silent.
ولا حظ هذا طبعا من فعل كثير من العلماء وتقديرهم لهذا المسلك للسلف الصالح رضي الله عنهم عندما يختلف كل واحد مثلا من اشد الناس سوس نصره لمنهج السلف الشيخ الاسلام ابن تيميه رحمه الله تعالى. تجد يفتي مثلا الانسان اذا كان يصلي صلاه الفجر خلف امام شافعي والامام يقرأ في صلاه الفجر ولو كان هذا بناء على عميل ضعيف وهو يقرأ صلاه الفجر يعني يفتي شيخ الاسلام ان تقتدي اي ولد قريبه وتحافظ على اتباع الامام في صلاه الفجر. مثلا يقول ان هناك خلاف بين علماء الجهر باذكار ختم الصلاه التي تقام في اخر الصلاه، البعض يرى انه يجهر بها والبعض يرى انها يستفاد بها. فشيخ الثاني يقول اذا وجد في مكان يعتقد ان الجهر قدر الافضل ووجد في مكان اذا ذهب الاذكار فيحصل تلاقم بين القلوب وفتن بسبب هذا الشيء مستحق، فيؤثر اجتماع قلوب المسلمين على شيء على مثلا مطروح في نظره ولا يعني يخالف هؤلاء جمع من قلوب المعلم اثاره الفتن الجايه.
And so we also find that this attitude was expressed to the scholars as their opinion. First, we find that Ibn Taymiyyah gave the fatwa, the verdict that if a person was praying behind a Shafi'i imam, and of course, as we know that from the characteristics of the Shafi'i madhhab, that during Fajr prayer they make qunut. And although this is based upon a weak hadith, however, though, they use actually Imam Taymiyyah said the person should still make qunut behind the imam, even though he feels that this is an incorrect practice, in order not to cause differences between the Muslims. And likewise, Ibn Taymiyyah gave an issue concerning making the dhikr, which is after salah, which is what doing with an audible voice or does it silently. There's a difference of opinion. So Ibn Taymiyyah said that if the people he's praying with do not feel that it should be done audibly, and yet he feels that it's a strong respect, then he should do it silently in order not to cause differences between the people.
ومن العصر الحاضر يعني ان العلامه الالباني رحمه الله المعروف ان كلامه في مساله يعني وضع اليدين على الصدر وعلى راس الركوع يعني هذه دليل على ان الركوع والضلاله ويشتد بالنكير على من يقاربه. ف يعني سمعنا من بعض اخواننا انه صلى يوما خلف امام يضع صدره فوضع الشيخ الالباني رحمه الله يده على صدر راس الركوع. فلما ساله الطالب عن هذا كيف فعلت هذا وانت تقول هذه كذا وكذا فرد الشيخ بنفس رد المسؤول وقال الكلام شرط
and also in our time we find an example of Shaykh al-Albani that although we know that Shaykh al-Albani's opinion is that if you place your hands, you place your hands back on your chest after you raise from rukua or from bowing, that this is a bid'ah, which leads to one a stray bid'ah. However, though even though he's very harsh concerning this issue, Shaykh Muhammad says it was reported to him that one time Shaykh al-Albani prayed behind somebody and placed his hands on his chest after he raised his back from rukua. So some of the students of knowledge asked Shaykh al-Albani, how could you do this even though you consider this a bid'ah? Shaykh al-Albani said, as in this group said, that khilaf or differences is evil, and the imam is a place we follow. So the rule, the principle over here is that in those issues where there is a difference of opinion, if the issue does not have a clear-cut sunnah or it does not have an ijma', the unified consensus of the scholars concerning a certain opinion, then therefore And the issue is whether it is plausible that either of the two opinions can be correct. So one does not reject against, or one does not censure whoever does not act that according to one of the opinions, whether he does that out of ijtihad or he does that out of blind imitation of belief.
وقال سبحانه التوحيد أن الله تعالى إذا رأيت الرجل يعمل العمل الذي قد اختلف اختلف فيه وأنت ترى غيره فلا تنهبه.
And Sufyan al-Thawri said that if a person does an action in which is one of those actions which there is a difference of opinion, and you think that the opposite is correct, do not prohibit him from doing what he is doing.
ويقول الخليفة الحضير الزغلاني رحمه الله تعالى ما اختلف فيه الفقهاء فلا أنهى أحد من إخواني أن يأخذ لي.
And the Khatib al-Baghdadi said that what the scholars of fiqh have differed in, I do not prohibit any of my brothers to take any of the opinions.
ويقول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى لا ينبغي للفقيه أن يحمل الناس على مذهب ولا يشدد عليه.
And Imam Ahmad said it is not permissible, permissible for the scholar of fiqh to force the people to follow a single opinion or to be harsh with them if they do not follow an opinion.
وقال الإمام النووي رحمه الله تعالى ليس للمفتي ولا للقاضي أن يعترض عمن خالفه إذا لم يخالف نصا أو إجماعا أو قياسا جليا.
And Imam Nawawi said it is not for the mufti or for the judge to be angered by those who go against them, so long as they have not gone against a clear verse or clear hadith or the unified consensus of the scholars or a very clear fiat analogy.
والتواصل من يتكلم تفتيشا وتنقيبا عن الافات والمآل وتتبع الدلالات ثم يدركون اسئلتهم في الفرق بين العلماء ولا يفعل ذلك الا مريض القلب لانه ليس من البشر المعصوم الى الانبياء عليهم على دين الصلاه والسلام فلا يجوز التجميع الشخصي ولا الاحتقار ولا مجرد ان عالم زاد في مساله او اثنين او ثلاثه فاذا بهم يشتكون تماما على هذا العالم ولا يعرف العالم الا بهذه الزاده ويجحدون كل القرائن التي تفعلها العالم.
And therefore, the rule is that for the student of knowledge to seek from the truth, he should not take the opinion of attacking the scholar if a scholar errs in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 issues, completely forgetting all the scholar's good points and completely putting an X on the scholar and only mentioning his errors in his opinions, repeating them and attacking him and diminishing his stature.
أما يعني أخيراً نأتي ببعض الآداب المطلوبة التي نركز عليها بالنسبة لطلبة العلم، فأول هذه الآداب أن الإنسان في طلب العلم في سؤاله في مناقشته لابد أن يعني يكون قصده هو وجه الله سبحانه وتعالى وأن يجرب أسئلة الله لا ليمالك العلماء وإن جزيلهم ويظهر يعني ذهب مخهم عليهم. فهذا الثاني أن يحسن الظن بهؤلاء العلماء وأن يحمل ما يصدر عنهم على أحسن وجوه. ثالثا أن يعتبر عنه ويكتب له المعايير. أيضا الإنسان ينبغي أن يتهم نفسه ولا يتسرع ولا يبالغ إلى تقصير للآخرين إلا بعد أن يتأنى ويقبل النصيحة مما نصحه مثلا لقول عمر أو سلام بن عمر حينما قال رحم الله ألا أهدى إلي علومي.
And we conclude the lecture by mentioning some of the manners which the seeker of knowledge must have when he's seeking knowledge. The first thing that his intention should only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should not intend by his seeking of the knowledge just to set himself up, prop himself up as a scholar by getting into debates and arguing with those people of knowledge. Likewise, he must have think well of the scholars and hold them in high esteem. Thirdly, if they make a mistake, he should try to, some sort of excuse for them and not try to say that this mistake occurred due to some people's intention or due to a desire by them to go against the Sharia. Fourthly, he should always first accuse himself of making the mistake before he tries to accuse others of being wrong, and only when he is certain after spending much time that he is correct, then he can take that stand. But initially, he should think of himself as probably the one who was buried in the picture, and he should also accept the advice of those who give it to them. Like Omar said, that Allah is merciful with me, who shows me my fault.
أيضا من هذه الأدب كان لا يمكن مع الكلام من عالم إلى عالم بطريقة طولة الضريبة ويحكم كل قرينة فبدا هذا من أقرح أنواع الدين وإدراك العلم العظيم. أيضا من هذه الأدب كان لا يمكن مع الكلام من عالم إلى عالم بطريقة طولة الضريبة ويحكم كل قرينة فبدا هذا من أقرح أنواع الدين وإدراك العلم العظيم. أيضا ثلاثة عالم القرآن وأردت أن تغيظ المراجع وقال الكلام لا تقول له فلان قال كذا، لكن قلت فلا قولك فيمن يقول كذا وكذا، أو سمعت ذلك من يقول كذا دون أن تنسى الرسول عليه.
However, he should say, what is your opinion concerning someone who gave this kind of opinion without mentioning that scholar who gave an opinion opposite to the opinion that he had heard?
نعم يجب أيضا أن نحترم العالم ونقطعه في الإطلاق، فهناك بعض المشايخ تطلب من بعض الناس يقول من مخالفة الآلاف الشرعية في مخالفة مثلا أن يقول واحد لواحد العلماء عندي سؤال طويل كما حصل هذا من قبل، قال يعني بعض التائبين أحد العلماء عندي سؤال صغير فقال له اطلب له رجلا صغيرا.
Also, what you do is that the person must have respect for the scholar, and he should not go against the manners of the Sharia by showing disrespect to the scholar. For instance, one time a person came to a scholar and said, I have a very simple question to ask you. So the scholar returned back to him and said, then don't be a simple man to
ask.
So at one time a person came to the scholar and said, I have a question for you which will not cause you any discomfort. So then the scholar replied back to him, then you do not seek the lowest of people to ask that question.
وقال واحد منهم لبعض العلماء عندي لك حويجة فقال اطلب لها رجلا.
And one time a person came to the scholar and said, I have a small matter to ask you. So the
scholar
replied back to him,
say,
then see a small
man. فهيرا أيها الأخوة، نحن لا نقول إننا لا نتحدث مسائل علمية ولا نختلف، لكن لا كل كلامنا حتى لا يزيد أحد فهمه هو مراعاة الآداب الشرعية والأخلاق المتحدة، الانحياز في العقائد غير قضايا الإسلام أقول، وغير الانحياز في البدع الدنيا المحرمة.
Always must have or hold the different manners of Islam from different with one another.
ويظهر قحوط في بعض القضايا الإعلامية، وربما ينظر لبعضهم نتيجة حماسه للحق، وربط هذا لحق العالم الآخر، فينبغي أن لا يفتن بذلك. كان العالم يتغرب مع العالم، لأن إذا يكون طالب العلم فتح عن كل عن الخير في آراء كل منهما، كل الخير وكل واحد. أما ما نحصل منه شدة طالب العلم فهذا عالم مع عالم، أما طالب العلم فينبغي أن يعني يرفع إلى هذه الآفاق العليا، فإذا تنصرت يعني تنصحت النصوص السماء فعلى المتدخلين أن يكون محجون على الأرض.
So the point is that sometimes when you find the scholars arguing with each other and due to their desire to make the truth apparent and sometimes harsh words coming from another, then therefore for the student of knowledge he should not then make it a cause of fitna for him by taking an action or position against one of the scholars. Rather, he should remember that he's a student of knowledge, that these are the scholars who are arguing the same with one another, and if he is not a scholar, he's only a student of knowledge, he should then try to therefore find good and meet the scholars and not enter into that which he cannot understand or which is too difficult for him to deal with.
أخيرا يعني عليه أن يكون الشعور حتى إلى حكم خلاف بين العلماء واشتد الكلام فيما بينهم حتى أدى إلى أمور يعني نكرهها جميعا فشعورنا تفاضل في العلم أمام سادتنا وأمور علينا من أهل العلم الأكاديم كلهم مهما اختلفوا ومهما حكم بين بعض يجب أن يكون شعور الأبناء إذا اختلف الألواني وأشرف على خلاص أو ظن معلوما أكثر من ذلك ويقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لله.
And so our final thing the Shaykh said that if we find the scholars differing, and sometimes the differing between them causes them to have causes matters to occur which we all hate, we should take the attitude of children when they see their parents arguing with one another, and that leads for them to either come close to divorce or if divorce occurs between them. The children still remain loving both parents. And therefore, even if you find the scholars differing and the difference between the causes for some matters that we dislike, we must still remain loving and respecting our scholars and one of
الإمام لأن
هذا هذه حسن إن خالف الإمام لأن هذا أيضا حسن نجمع بين الأمور.
unfortunately, you have completely misunderstood the question, or at least have completely misunderstood what I've been aiming at. All I was trying to do was to give you an example of how the scholars had so much mutual respect for one another, how they would not allow the differences to lead them to have mutual hatred or dislike from one another. So the Shaykh said that in those issues in which it's clear-cut that something is right and wrong, therefore one should not call them wrong. However, in those issues in which differences are permissible because the right and wrong are not so clear, both explanations or both opinions are plausible, that in this case, what are stupid things may happen. If you decide to follow what you think is not correct, and the difference is plausible over here, taking the hadith of the Prophet in its most general context, that the iman has been placed to be followed, and hoping by that to follow the Prophet's instruction, then your intention is good. And if at the same time you feel that it's more preferable, more close to the sunnah, then you stick to what, and since this is an issue which both opinions are plausible, therefore if he follows his iman and is seeking to adhere to the hadith of the Prophet, then the iman has been made to be followed with the law, his intention here is good. And if he does stick to what he feels is more correct and does not do this action, then his intention, because it's also good. The point the Shaykh was saying is trying to make is you shouldn't allow those differences which are plausible to make you hate the person who has an opinion different than yours, or to feel that his prayer is invalid, or to feel that he's a heretic, or to feel that he's a sinful person, or to feel that that person is a person who lacks in adherence to the Prophet, because this is a difference in which both opinions are plausible. As far as those things are clear cut, nobody was trying to say that you can follow that which is clearly cut wrong and leave, which is what that is clearly cut from the sunnah of the Prophet. So it's disconcerting certain issues and shouldn't be taken in the most general context. That was not the intent of the Shaykh.
No, and أيضا نحن نعرف أن الإمام نريد أن نبين أن المنهج السلفي اللي هو يعني أكثر من يحارب التعصب من الدليل، التعصب الزلالي. ونحن نتعامل مع واقع معيش، لا من بعض اخواننا وزملائنا من طلبه العلم غلوا في مثل هذه القضايا غلوا يتجاوز الحدود، لا يقف عند هذه المصلحه بل احيانا يصل الى معاملة التمييز بالجانب. يعني مثلا كما يحصل بعض الاخوه في تكوين الحكومه. صحيح يعني احصاء الصحابه رضي الله عنهم ويتم السبب في الموضوع استقبال الشده في كل شيء في جسم اثناء الصلاه حتى بطبع الثاني. فكان في فقه كان حتى يستقبل الشده اما على الرواه الامر باستخدام يعني القبله وعدم وجود صلاه بين الصفوف. لان بعض الناس ياتي في مثلا في الصلاه يعمل يعني ميديا روتيشن ولا ينافي الهدف الذي من اجله اساسا هو جزء من هذه الكتب. لا يفقه اذا وجد اللي هو قدم يمنى كذا اللي جنبه بيعمل اللي كده فياتي اللي كده عشان يسد الصلاه فهو خالف الهدف الاساسي اللي هو المستقبل كده. فهذا نوع من مزيد الاحتياط وهذا من فعل الصحابه ليس قولا من النبي ليس امرا من النبي عليه الصلاه ولا يعني هذا من فعل الحكايه لفعل الصحابه لا يملك القوه الى ان يكون يعني كان كقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا من رواية بعض الناس يصر على ان يرسل ثقه لقدم وجده على قدم الشخص الذي يمر كيف تفعل الصلاه؟ الثاني يبعد سريعا قد يكون بعض الناس حساسين بطريقه كلامه في المعاملات اللي كانت تتم حركه او جميله. فبعض الناس يعني كل في الصلاه كانها لا انا يحرك هذا المكان يختلف منه فيختلف فيعمل ايضا لو اراد الرجل الاتجاه الاخرى يفعل نفس الشيء تنفرد ساقات بطريقه يعني لا تنقبل الله عز وجل. وبعض الناس وهذا حصل بالفعل لما واحد في جواري مره فعل مثل هذا يجرب بكل سر جسمه على قدمه حتى يعني يصدق ما يراه هو سنه ويقرا أنا ما بزعل أشعر ولا بزعل فاضي هذه الطريقة. فأمر الصحيح حتى لو كانت بعيد عن قدمي يختلف نفسه في النهاية ماذا فعل؟ وضع قدمه الخمسة قدمي هكذا. ومع هذا الغلو نحن نعيشه مغاليره كثيرة في أنهم قصروا قصروا الله وقليلوا العلم ويصل الأمر أحيانا لا يستطيع خمسة بل يمكن في مثل هذه الدقائق من الأمور يصل إلى مخاطرة وتنمى التفاعل من الذي يحصل به المتعصبين. واحد من الأحناف في بلاد الهند المنظمة حكى بعض العلماء انه وصل الامر لي الى ان راى سلفيا يحرك الصاع في الصلاه فكفر له الصاع. اذا انا اريد انا الذي اقول هذا الكلام حتى لا يستفهم الحكام الاخيره لان هو انا أن هذا مسلم مهما اختلفت معه مسلم له حقوق من الأخوة، فلا أن نواري ونعادي في جد هذه المسائل التي محل خلاف ما أقرأ ومحتاجها من الثاني.
So the Sheikh said that the final point concerning this issue that we have to keep in mind that the Salafi methodology, the harshest and strongest methodology, is trying to break partisanship for one's method and trying for the people to have strict adherence to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But at the same time, we find that sometimes among some students of knowledge, that they have a certain extremism which goes out of the intent of the regulations of the Sharia. The Sheikh is an example that sometimes you find some people who take the words of the because they want to take the Sunnah completely, they turn their toes towards the Sunnah. Even the Sunnah will do that, and thus they stab vision toes in prayer. And also sometimes, whatever the Sheikh gave a story that happens to him, that is that sometimes people want to stand next to each other and have no gaps in the law. They use such an extremism that one time, that the person was so heavy that he would try to put his foot into the Sheikh's foot. So the Sheikh would step a little bit away from him. And then finally, and then he would bring himself a little closer and so forth and so on. So finally, the man put his foot on top of the Sheikh's foot and pressed and not allowing the Sheikh to have concentration or for sure fear of law, publisher of law, or tie up in the law. And likewise, in previous times, one time a so this attitude is the same attitude as, for instance, those who blindly follow their method, and when they see a person having adherence to Sunnah, they strike out against them, like some blind followers of the Hanafi method. One time they saw in India a Salafi moving his finger in Salah, so they broke his finger. So this is this type of extremism and main issue of wala, loyalty and Salah. This avowal based upon these issues in which the difference of opinion is possible, and you should always remember that even if the difference of opinion is not possible, the person is still a Muslim, and you shouldn't treat them like he's a disbeliever or like he's a hypocrite and so forth. So,
what we got to have يعني من هذه الجماعة الخشوع فنفس الشيء أن يقدر الخشوع عليه وروح الصلاة.
So because these matters go against a lack of fear in Salah, obviously one should put more fear in Salah, which is the soul or the spirit of prayer.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.